Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
So why are love songs so popular and what makes audiences so drawn to them?
Well, it's a long, long story, as they used to say. It probably goes back to the Middle Ages, sort of troubadours singing to their beloved. But in our culture, they just have, I mean, popular music, they're, aside from the Cold Chisels and the Red Gums and the you know, the rap songs, love is the story. And it's amazing. But that is because I suppose that the idea of romantic love sort of pervades our culture.
And what would you say are some of the most classical love songs written?
I don't know about the most classical, but I've been looking at the songs of the late 50s and early 60s, and they're very different to today. There are wedding bands, as in Johnny O'Keefe's She Wears My Ring. There's a lot of hurting and crying and cheating and all of the above, you know, Roy Orbison and others. A lot of sort of teen romance. There are babies and honeys and things like that. And I think that's actually changed. If you think about Rod Stewart, I Just Want You Because You're Good in Bed, or some of the Stones songs, or the Kinks' Lola, where there's a bit of bisexuality, those songs were not even played on radio. Oh, could not have been played on radio for a period in the 60s and 70s. So the world has changed in terms of what people think about.
Yeah, definitely. And if we think about the romantical classical pieces as well, what makes a love song classical or timeless? So how do we define this as a timeless song?
I think a timeless song is usually a timeless song for your generation. There's evidence that, for example, people who come from an immigrant background and grew up speaking another language, as they get older, they remember the songs of their childhood and often the language of their childhood. And I've actually myself been thinking about how I could actually write my own story in songs. Not because I'm only a shower singer, as you'd gather, but you know, you go back to a child hearing something like "How much is that doggy in the window?" which of course is, I suppose, a pet love song, right through those adolescent angst when I used to listen to Gene Pitney, and I thought that song should have actually called "It Hurts Not to Be in Love." That's, and other songs like, "I Shall Be Released," which of course is a liberation song, and Fleetwood Mac, you know, "When the Loving Starts," which from my case brings back a particular memory. So this is one of the things that we actually remember. What we remember is actually more significant than what is profound.
Yeah, definitely. And currently we do have a lot of contemporary love songs, like you mentioned before, artists like Ed Sheeran. How do you think that these will be interpreted in the future? Will they become the new classics like we have with the timeless pieces?
Well, I think the quality of a classic is really determined by the individual creator and singer. And I think Ed Sheeran is already someone who... He's joined the sort of, the collection of greats. You know, looking back at this bizarre world of the early 1960s, it was, of course, there were little places called teenage heaven because there was a bit of religion around. But I think Ed would be in the sort of, pop folk song hall of fame already.
And with things like Tinder and hookup culture, our ideas of love and romance, they're changing a little bit as time goes on. Do you think that this portrayal of love in modern songwriting has changed as well?
I think that is one of the things that, that if the stories were all about hurt and suffering in the 50s and 60s, people are now more frank. And I think that, there's a, as we know, and also there's more sex. So I think that sort of romanticism of songs that still had a legacy from an earlier period full of strings and, the sort of stuff that were associated with Al Martino and people like that. I think things are getting earthier. If you think of Crowded Houses, Don't Dream It's Over, there's a complicated story there about how things could, fall apart, but we will, I suppose, in another song cliche, keep it together. So complexity is the difference, I think. And that's, whereas the old ones were very simple. The song was very short. The sentences were very short. You just think of the Beatles, Love Me Do. You know, with much repetition, love. I won't sing "You'll Be Pleased to Know," but love, love me do, etc. So that is the difference, that someone like Ed Sheeran can bring complexity, whereas the basic pop song, the basic Beatles song. Now, I think started to development with the sort of narrative of the singer songwriter in the early 70s. Before that, there were a whole lot of people in the Brill Building in New York who just churned out pop songs. And they basically knew how to get the recipe. But someone like Carole King, or probably quite differently, Neil Young, they started to be able to then, just they started to write complicated autobiographical stories. Although the funny thing is, there are complications that Jerry Goffin, Carole King's partner, had a great input into I Feel Like a Natural Woman. And quite differently, one of the contributors to the Helen Reddy song, I Am Woman, was a man as well. So life can be complicated.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it has been interesting to see how over time love songs have kind of changed. And like you mentioned before, the complexity of it as well. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.